Dr. Linda Eckerd is author of Enough, Because We Can Stop Cervical Cancer. Dr. Eckerd is a recognized expert in immunizations and cervical cancer prevention, having worked as a consultant with the World Health Organization on global cancer prevention for the last 15 years, facilitating policy development for the HPV vaccine and cervical cancer screening. Cervical cancer kills almost 350,000 women each year. What's more horrifying is that millions have died of this disease that's nearly 100% preventable. It's no secret that healthcare is full of inequities with a severe lack of accessible screening programs, but women's healthcare is also impeded by cultural, gender, and political barriers, issues that have combined to create devastating consequences. Dr. Eckerd is a leading expert in cervical cancer prevention and has taken her years of experience in weaving it all together with the voices of courageous women who use their own experiences of cervical cancer to advocate for change. The new book is Enough, Because We Can Stop Cervical Cancer. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Linda Eckerd to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great honor to have you. Dr. Eckerd is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology with an infectious disease fellowship at the University of Washington. I am curious as to what brought you to the subject, and certainly in the way in which you're approaching it with a very, I think, resounding enough.
Well, thanks for asking that. You know, I spent 30 years of my life caring for women all over the world in high and low resource settings. But a common denominator everywhere was cervical cancer, which is preventable. And eventually, I just got so angry, actually, at watching these valuable people suffer and die sometimes, that I felt like, you know, what could I do? And I've spent my life working on policy and data, and I really believe in both of those. But finally, I was in a room at the World Health Organization in 2018 when they were getting ready to launch their global elimination effort for cervical cancer. And I was thrilled to be in this room, but I looked around and I thought, wow, where are the women? Where are the women who've been impacted by this disease? Where are their voices? And maybe if we could get their voices and their stories and their power out there and combine it with some information that could be understandable by everybody that you didn't need a medical degree to understand, maybe we could try to elevate this disease to a new level to try to help people understand that we really can do something to save these lives and prevent these diseases. So it set me on a 5-year quest to write a book, which was a new experience for me. But I'm really happy that it's out, and I'm really grateful to all the amazing people around the world, the women and the experts I was able to interview who shared their insights and their stories for this book.
I mean, I think I do know the answer to this question, unfortunately, but as you look and you ask that question to yourself of where are the women, what's the answer to that? I mean, why the exclusion?
Well, I think it's complex, but I would say a common denominator, again, when I interview people all over the world, is stigma. This is a heavily stigmatized disease. It's caused by a virus, human papillomavirus, and although 80% of adults will get HPV at some point, it still carries this weight of being sexually transmitted. And, you know, I also feel from my years as a gynecologist that women bear an unequal burden for sexually transmitted diseases that, you know, males rarely have, quote, blame, unquote, placed on them, but women often do. And also talking about cervical cancer in many cultures is extremely challenging and can lead to individuals being ostracized. And including in our culture, it's a hard thing to talk about. So I think that is one reason why their voices haven't been heard as loudly.
I assume once you started to go out and talk to women about their experiences, it was not difficult to have them share with you what they were going through and had gone through.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, I think whenever people are talking about something so deeply personal that's impacted them in a profound way, it's never easy. And it's a very vulnerable thing. And when I was writing this book, you know, I was soliciting individuals who would be willing to share their stories, mostly soliciting online or through survivor organizations. But I hadn't met many of these people. So it was a real trust act on their part, I think, to share their stories with somebody they didn't know and offer to have it be in a book. And I feel most of them wanted it, their names used. Very few wanted it to remain anonymous. And I think it just shows the power of these advocates and how much they want other women to be spared the type of suffering they've had, that they were really willing to come forward and share their stories.
When you look at the, I mean, just I mentioned cervical cancer kills almost 350,000 women each year. And as I also said in the introduction, that this is a disease that is nearly 100% preventable. So why are those numbers so at such odds with one another?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I think that's there's a couple of things that are very consistent. Number one, cervical cancer prevention, you need access. You need access to screening. Traditionally, that's been Pap smear, for instance, in our country, which has been successful at dropping cervical cancer rates, although we've been steady for a while. We have a woman die every 2 hours of cervical cancer in the United States. But there's vast inequities. There's urban-rural inequities to access. There's racial inequities in our country. There's income inequities. If you don't have health insurance, it's much harder to find low-cost screening, especially in some states where they've closed a lot of their low-cost clinics because they wanted to try to limit any type of access to what potentially could be abortion services, such as in Planned Parenthood's. And then globally, screening really just doesn't happen for a lot of the world. It's pretty hard to do. And the second main prevention tool we have is HPV vaccine, which has been a very successful tool. And in countries that have used it well, where people have accepted it, like Australia, is on their way to eliminating cervical cancer. In the United States, we've had a lot of fits and starts with the HPV vaccine. Currently, about 75% of individuals in their teens have had a dose, which is great, and that's much better. But it's been around for almost 20 years, and it's had a very slow uptake. So I think there's been barriers related to access, related to finances, related to political will, related to stigma, related to beliefs, a lot of different challenges beyond just the science of knowing how to prevent this disease.
You include in the book so many personal stories, and I'm interested in what it was like to gather those and to meet and talk with the women and to hear those stories from them about their experiences.
Oh, well, thank you so much for asking that. I consider it one of the greatest things in my life that it's really offered changes to me. As a gynecologist, you know, I really felt like I understood cervical cancer. I understood the disease. But when I really met and talked with these women, I was so struck by the profound impact of living with cancer, about how hard that is, not just getting the treatment, which is hard, but then waking up every day and wondering, oh, is this backache a recurrence? Or what about this? Or, you know, I have to go in for a scan in 2 months. I'm feeling really nervous already. And so I gained a lot of compassion and insight into just how hard and how much courage it takes to live with cancer. So that was certainly a wonderful learning opportunity for me. But again, also, I was inspired. I was inspired by their courage and their resilience and their willingness to put themselves out there to try to prevent other people from having this same disease that would impact them in such a hard way.
What do you think is important for women to know about prevention, of what needs to be done to prevent cervical cancer?
Well, I think one thing is to use the HPV vaccine because it prevents not just cervical cancer, but 6 cancers. Mm. And we actually have great data on its safety. We've given over 300 million doses globally. And it is it prevents cervical cancer, which almost 95% is caused by HPV, but it also can prevent 70% of throat cancer. And throat cancer is increasing in men, and so that's one reason why the HPV vaccine is so good for boys. It can prevent a lot of anal cancer, vulvar and vaginal cancer. And so, you know, we have this vaccine that can prevent 6 types of cancer, which is kind of crazy that, you know, it's not being used as well as it could be used. And then the second thing is screening for women. Again, traditionally, that's been the pap smear. We're kind of we're switching over in some parts of the country, especially to HPV-based screening, which is an HPV test. But, you know, I would say that there's recommendations available for how often people should get screening. And then the key is to try to follow up if there's abnormal results.
You write in the book, I'm a woman raised in the Western United States in a country where I had the opportunity to go to college and medical school and pursue the advanced medical training. I am white and I am talking about a disease that kills more women of color. In addition to working in medical clinics in my own country labeled high income by the World Bank, I have lived and worked as a physician in Liberia, Nicaragua, and Kenya, countries deemed low income. While I am a passionate advocate for those who have been attacked by this cancer, I'm not a cervical cancer survivor. I've never had to fight to obtain health care, and I'm acutely aware that my perspective arises in part from a place of privilege. Could you talk about that and the inequalities and certainly of how it takes people like you to put that very issue on the table?
You know, I like I wrote there in that introduction, I do feel like I'm a person who's been able to access so many things, including healthcare and education. But when I work in Liberia, for instance, which is where I saw my first case of cervical cancer, advanced cervical cancer, age 25, you know, the woman was who presented was really in an advanced stage. We couldn't even give her morphine. We didn't even have that. And so I feel like the inequities globally are still quite significant. There's very little treatment for cervical cancer in many parts of the world. You know, I've worked in Malawi. They don't even have a single radiation machine to offer any kind of radiation for cancer treatment. But I'd also say in our country, we have areas of gross inequity. For instance, in the Rio Grande Valley, less than 10% of women are getting cervical cancer screening in some regions. And the Native American in this country rate of cervical cancer is twice what anybody else's rate is. And some of that is access. And so I feel like trying to alert people, you know, most people wouldn't know this, or they wouldn't know there was a global HPV vaccine shortage and that lower income countries didn't have access to it nearly the way that high income countries did. And so I guess I was just hoping that by trying to talk about this, then it would raise awareness and people would be motivated to try to help advocate and spread the word about this preventable cancer.
The book is so important and beautifully written. It is Enough, Because We Can Stop Cervical Cancer. The book is published by Cambridge. Enough, Because We Can Stop Cervical Cancer by Dr. Linda Eckert. Dr. Eckert, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Thank you. I appreciate you being with us and for sharing your important work.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, Joe, and thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
And to you, thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Enough, Because We Can Stop Cervical Cancer. It is published by Cambridge. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.